Telling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.
Kia ora, Kirsten, how are you?
I am good, very excited about our lovely music today.
Yes, now what is the name of the genre?
Okay, this is Hapa Haole, and I misspoke last week when I said Hapa means half. So it'd be like someone will say Afakasi.
Okay.
For half caste. And so Hapa Haole means half white or half foreigner. And it's a very contested term. So is Haole is their word for white people. It can just be a fact, you know, my Haole friend, or it can be an insult, like, you know, go home, Haole. So, you know, people are a little ambivalent, you know, sort of how people, you know, have had problems with Pākehā as well.
That's interesting. So this is in Hawaii. Is this where we're based as well,
yeah,
this morning?
Yeah, so we're in Hawaii. And so, but also everyone acknowledges it's the name for this kind of music. So Hapa Haole is this kind of Hawaiian music that emerged starting the late 1800s, early 1900s, which was sort of whitened, poppin', you know, versions of Hawaiian music. And it's got English and Hawaiian lyrics. And, oh my God, it was so popular in the States for decades.
Wow.
In the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. Like, it topped the chart. Like, a huge
That's amazing.
Of the U.S. pop music was this Hawaiian music. It was also a big hit in New Zealand at the time, and later we'll listen to a New Zealand artist that performs it.
That's incredible. This first track, just to interrupt you here, this first track is Charles Kaipo that we're listening to.
It's a grand old place that's always fair to see.
My Little Grass Shack is the name of this song. So there's a lot of, like, kind of kitschiness going on here as well. Is that right?
Absolutely. So it's, you know, it's had various phases of ins and outs. So in the 60s and 50s, it sort of had another revitalized period in its kitschiness because there was a lot of people who came back from the war in the Pacific, in the States, and, mm-hmm. and in Aotearoa as well. And many of them, even though it had been a horrible war in the Pacific, had actually grown attachment to the islands, so they sort of idealized, you know, they loved hearing these songs. And also in the 50s in the States, like tiki bars and hula-themed bowling alleys were popular and little pineapple hors d'oeuvres, you know, like, it's this sort of fantasy, and that's what Hapa Haole is this fantasy Hawaii. Like, I mean, honestly, I learned this song at school in the United States
right.
for kids. But then in the 70s, they had sort of indigenous renaissance, I guess, a bit like here as well, with reclaiming that language.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Hawaiian artists, you know, would sort of re-record some of the songs, add more Hawaiian bits, because for them, they grew up with this as Hawaiian as well. Musicians played it in clubs and tourist bars.
I want to go back to my fish and poi. I want to go back to my little grass shack in Kealakekua Harbor.
Someone's just texted in, Kirsten, saying, oh, I wish I was in my beloved Waikiki at this time. So someone's feeling a bit homesick on the text machine.
Beautiful songs about Waikiki. Some people call it, you know, Waikiki kitsch, you know. What's interesting about this song is a lot of people don't know is Kealakekua, that he talks about in the song, that's actually where James Cook was murdered.
important place.
So, you know, it's the kitsch music and it's kind of a colonized music, but in the other hand, it's a place where indigenous Hawaiians sort of kept their resistance going.
Mm-hmm.
It maintained Hawaiian culture sort of on the low, like it was right up front, but secretly, you know, songs about loving the islands and how beautiful it was.
Yeah.
As we know from Māori, like it's celebrating the land and their place. So it's this real mixed sort of complex thing.
Yeah, a complicated genre. Somebody has texted in with the connection to Aotearoa here saying that Blue Smoke, which is probably one of our most iconic New Zealand songs ever, was inspired by this genre, which I think is true, was definitely at that same post-war era.
Yep, absolutely. And the use of the steel guitar, which was invented in Hawaii. And yeah, it was really big in New Zealand too. It was a way for New Zealand to do sort of stick in some Māori aspects. And it was, you know, popular on the charts. And I think Blue Smoke was the first sort of pop recorded song
it
here
was.
That was like released. Yeah.
tiny baboon.
Well, this is Don Ho, iconic. I think he had us on TV show in the 70s. He was on the Brady Bunch. So, you know, he was part of the sort of spreading of fake Hawaii once again, you know, decades later. He was indigenous Hawaiian as well as Chinese, Portuguese, Dutch, German. He was a hapa, you know, he was a mixed Hawaiian person. And this song was like in the charts, I think, for like nearly 10 years.
Wow.
He performed in Vegas and New York City, and he sometimes gets branded as the worst of hapa Hawaii, you know.
Oh no, poor old Don.
But yet other Hawaiian artists, activist ones like Israel Kamako Viva Ole, you know, the one that did the Summer of the Rainbow, you know, he's come out in defense saying, look, we all played those songs, that was our living.
Yeah.
And we grew up. And here's the weird thing, is people now do hula to it.
So that's really interesting. So it is, as you were saying, a complicated genre because it's had, you know, a colonized history, but also a resistance history. And it's a tool to use to further broader conversations around indigeneity and land rights and things like that. I think that's really fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, same with kapahaka. That was a created form in the early 1900s, you know, because all those elements had their own indigenous context, right? You would do it for this event or this welcome. But to create it just for performing, that was created for tourists, for white people.
Right.
You know, has guitars. But yet it's over 100 years old now, you know, so it's like, you know, these are important part of everyone's history, and it's about resilience and ingenuity, survival.
So this track is Tiny Bubbles and Pearly Shells Medley. And as you were saying as well, Kirsten, like the language is a huge part of this too, part of that complexity as well.
So people were singing in Hawaiian who didn't know it. You know, like you see kids knowing all the words to Moana, you know, that's in Tuvalu language. And now see, this is our New Zealand one now.
Here we go. By the surge of the sea, bellbird softly chimed, Mari Sarah. Oh, some terrible pronunciation there from Mavis. This is Bill Savesi, who is a bit of a legend.
Yeah, so he built his own steel guitar. You know, so it's interesting, the steel guitar that, you know, country music in the species isn't originally a Polynesian invention.
Yeah, yeah.
And Bill Savesi and a couple others played, you know, all over Auckland in the 60s and 70s. In fact, there's a lot of Pacific people that say they wouldn't be born if Bill Savesi hadn't played the Sweet Tunes and their parents hadn't met at the club. And Mavis Rivers is a Samoan jazz singer, you know, iconic. Toured the world. Apparently Frank Sinatra, you know, said she was one of the great, you know, great singers that he had heard.
So is this kind of all happening at the same time as like the Maori show bands in New Zealand as well?
Yes. Savesi was in that 60s and 70s, absolutely. And show bands are the same thing. It's that, you know, humor and entertainment, but they're actually, you know, keeping, you know, putting Māori language out, making everybody learn the song, singing the language, and making a good living.
And challenging a lot of really racist interpretations of Māori culture as well.
Yeah. So it's, you know, the music looks kitsch, but also, you know, you can tell just listening to it. That sound of longing, you know, is about ships and sailing, but also land loss and the war, you know, and the war in the Pacific. And so that even though it's kitschy, there's that sort of sadness and melancholy to it as well. And I guess that's the sort of twofold nature of this music. And hopefully this is making everybody feel a little bit warmer today. And calm.
calming vibes from Bill Savesi. We have had a text in from Rosie who says that her Don Ho Christmas album is possibly overplayed every December, or at least so her friends tell her.
Oh, what an awesome idea. Yes, true. His yes. play his Christmas album if you want to, because we have a warm Christmas too, you know. So
exactly.
Songs that aren't about snow.
Hey, Kirsten, I very much enjoyed Hapa Haole this morning. Thank you for bringing it to us. What will we be talking about next week?
Oh my gosh, trip-hop.
Trip-hop. We are truly running the gamut at the moment. Thank you so much.
Britain. All right. Okay, bye.
Have a nice weekend. See you later.
All right.
That was Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimpke.
Certainly was. Thank you.